We will now proceed ahead with paper presentation. The second paper presentation for today by Colonel Kuldeep Yadav from MCME Secunderabad. Colonel Kuldeep Yadav was commissioned in the Indian Army in 1997 in the Corps of Electronics and Mechanical Engineering. The officer has had a distinguished career and has served in counter-insurgencies in both JNK and Northeast, wherein he was awarded with a commendation card. He has commanded an EME battalion in counter-insurgency operations area in Manipur. The officer has stopped all his courses in EME, including a competitive vacancy in Defence Services Staff College, and represented India in United Nations in Israel as a staff officer. He is a Master of Technology in Information Technology and specializes in Artificial Intelligence. He is presently Head of Department in Computer Science Systems Department at Military College of Electronics and Mechanical Engineering, where courses up to master levels in the field of IT are conducted, and is also driving many projects as MCEME is a center of excellence in AI for equipment in the Indian Army. Now, I will request the speaker to continue with his presentation.
You will have to give me the presentation mode, please. Sure. Is my slide visible?
Yes, sir, your slides are visible, sir.
And I'm audible.
Yes, sir, you are audible.
Okay. Thank you. At the outset, let me thank you, the moderator, for the kind words said about me, and also thank Commodore as well as all the distinguished audience attending the webinar for giving me this opportunity to present the paper, which is very a contemporary topic and a topic which is close to my heart. Without much ado, I would start with my topic, which basically is artificial intelligence for prescriptive maintenance in defense forces. I will be covering the topic under the following heads: briefly touch upon how the AI evolved and its military applications. Next, I will cover the present maintenance paradigms and their drawbacks, and establish the need for prescriptive maintenance. Go on to the various technologies which are part of prescriptive maintenance, the advantages and challenges in effective implementation, and finally, try to evolve a model for prescriptive maintenance. Just to put things in perspective, which is already being told by many speakers before, is that AI is nothing new. In fact, it dates back to the Taylor's, which was Robert, and Pandora, which was the imaginary AI automation involved along with that. In fact, it was in 1956 that the word AI was coined by John McCarthy and a team of 11 mathematicians who toiled over the word AI for about 6 weeks. And as rightly brought out by the professor from IIT Hyderabad also, that AI has seen its ups and downs. It was somewhere in the 70s for 6 years and 80s for 6 years again. They were called the dark ages, also called the AI winters, basically because the performance had much less compared to the expectations. But however, post 90 onwards, the AI has picked up, basically also because of not only the AI per se, but because of the attendant technologies along with that, the higher compute, the higher storage that is available to us. And of course, as has been brought out with AlexNet, deep learning networks, and neural networks coming up. The various technologies in the domain of AI, which participate and are used in military applications, are as flashed. Coming on to the applications for AI in defense, there are many, though in the initial part, but there are many AI applications in defense, be it the ISR, the Project Maven or Compass, autonomous weapons, Atlas or remote controlled vehicles, info operations, that is deepfake, faking what you see in the video might not be the correct video or the image, battlefield healthcare, simulation and training. Today, the topic is the logistics and transportation in which forms the predictive maintenance. The fight for AI supremacy has already begun, and US has taken a lead towards that extent. Right from 2017 till projected in 2028, it will have a 500% increase of investment in AI. If that was not enough, China has already surpassed US in funding for the AI. And if that is not enough, the interesting aspect is that China is increasing spending in AI companies of US. Now, this is something interesting because already they are talking about ethical weapons, ethics of AI, and the need for autonomous weapons to be controlled by humans. So AI is good, but it is whose AI? US AI or Chinese AI for the US? So is it a case in point, something like a Stuxnet that we have in advance? Need to be careful there. In fact, China, for that matter, has really evolved in AI. And people say that you cannot take AI, whatever China says, with a pinch of salt. You have to take, in fact, take it with a pinch of salt. So towards that extent, they claim that they already developed their first armed amphibious drone boat. They are already in the process of having a long-range UAV, autonomous, fully. And they claim they will be a superpower in the next 12 odd years. And to that effect, there is some credence to that because of the many organizations, the number of patents that have been filed by Chinese organizations is much higher. And as can be seen, the number of papers in the American Conference of AI submitted, China had submitted much more further papers than what the US had submitted. In fact, the China has a national plan to have almost a 1 trillion yuan economy, core industry by 2030. Services are very familiar with these words, which were basically what was contemplated by a pilot flying in Iraq. He was flying a B-22 Osprey aerial platform. So basically highlighting the points is, which we generally are very familiar, is has to be deployed in the Middle East. He inherited a decade-old tilt-rotor MB-22. He was flying combat missions. Well, the machine had undergone years of compounding mechanical wear and tear. And it is not uncommon that there were a lot of system failures. And it was during one such mission that one of the captains, Steven Herrera, she encountered that there was a gearbox oil pressure while flying in Iraqi airspace, which was a problem. So these are the kind of challenges that we face with the present maintenance paradigms. And in fact, in China, almost about 3,000 people are killed every year in mines. 80% of these deaths are basically because of the equipment failure. So having developed the requirement of RxM, the US has already woken up to it. And in fact, in 2015, they have nominated a defense innovation unit, which undertakes various contracts with various organizations. And as was being brought out by the speakers today, Mr. Chris Gopalakrishnan had also mentioned that the US is following a very good model of government-industry partnership, and through that they've already got contracts. Like they've got a US $95 million contract last year with C3.ai to boost its aircraft readiness. They already got a US $1 million contract for the Bradley vehicles predictive maintenance. They've got a contract with IBM, which is going to be a 3-year-old contract for US $135 million, by which they plan that there will be a reduction in 30% less breakdown and reduced downtime by 50%. Not only that, a lot of data is flowing amongst the various IoT platforms that have been incorporated in US. And just to give you an idea, about 4 billion transactions of these are done per day by LOXA, which is logistic support activity, the backbone of the logistic backbone of the US Army. And with 5 billion data points and IoT sensors coming up to US. Well, all this is high cost. But do you think it is high cost? Because what has happened is that after having utilized the cloud of the IBM, US Army has saved almost $15 million in the last 4 years. And with almost about US $80 million per piece of the F-35 aircraft that it has in its fleet, and the operation and maintenance cost of almost about 8,000 aircraft that it is having, the annual maintenance contract is generally about $292 billion US dollars. So do you feel that what it is spending on AI is high, needs a relook? So having seen that, we move on to the present maintenance paradigms. There are basically four kinds of maintenance paradigms that we have. The generally more prevalent that we all see around us are the reactive kind, where something fails, we walk up, we intervene, we replace the part, we make it working, and it goes on. The next are the preventive, that also we carry out on a daily basis in our equipment and machinery and ships. We carry out scheduled maintenance at various regular intervals so that the system does not fail. The third is the predictive maintenance, wherein what happens is that based on the present in service condition of the equipment, you are able to identify whether the equipment requires maintenance or not, and it is faulty depending on the various parameters which have been laid on, and then you can go about carrying out the repairs. So it predicts the faults and you can carry out repairs. But prescriptive maintenance is what which goes beyond predictive maintenance. That is, of course, it is predictive maintenance, but with the use of AI, the machine is autonomous enough to identify and generate work orders well in time to ensure that the thing doesn't happen on its own or prevent it from happening. So having seen the four maintenance paradigms, the drawbacks in the present paradigms, which are basically more are preventive and scheduled maintenance or corrective maintenance, are that due to the unforeseen failures, we have to maintain a high inventory because we don't know what is going to fail, when it's going to fail. The next more important factor is that the scheduled maintenance, though, does enhance the reliability and increase the longevity of the equipment, but it is takes time and is also cumbersome because a lot of scheduled activities are involved. The third thing which is affected by this is the availability, because whenever the equipment is down because of any failures or maybe because of the scheduled maintenance activities, the equipment is down and is not available. And of course, these three are the ones which are tangible drawbacks. But the intangibles are one which I have highlighted and needs deliberation is the reduction in reliability with each failure, which we don't realize. And finally, repeated failures lead to reduced overall life. This is shown in the next slide. As you can see out here, that here the moment the fault is introduced, there is we go about, we carry out the repair. The moment we carry out the repair, you can see out here, the cost of repair goes up. So it is not only the cost of repair goes up, but also the quality of the equipment deteriorates. Because whenever an equipment fails, a part of the equipment fails, it brings a catastrophic failure. And courtesy that, what happens is the equipment around also gets stressed. So that is where the liability gets down. Whereas in case of predictive maintenance, timely correction and identification of the fault, we're able to correctly find out the there is a slight depreciation in the liability, but soon it goes up and there is no overall depreciation in the overall liability and life of the equipment or the vehicle per se. So the cost of repair and as well as liability is low. Liability is high, the cost of repair is low. Coming on to the next drawback is the cost. We all are very aware of the direct cost, which are the spares in terms of spares, what is involved in the repair and that we have to maintain. But the hidden cost which we don't see are the cost in terms of time. In case we want our equipment to be fully sure, we will carry out over maintenance. But over maintenance is at a cost of manpower as well as time. And if it is under maintained, of course, the equipment is bound to fail and therefore would require replacements. So as can be seen in the chart out here, what needs to be done is we need to make a balance using predictive maintenance, wherein the maintenance cost and the operating costs need to be brought to a common ground. So here is where the prescriptive maintenance comes into place. As you can see in this chart, this basically indicates the life of an asset when it goes, when it is being utilized. As you can see, the equipment starts to deteriorate the moment it starts. There is a point P at which the potential failure is there. And finally, there is a point F at which the failure occurs. So the whole ballgame is to ensure that this PF interval, the F is not met. And it's not so that it happens in a day or in minutes. There are various times over which or various phases over which this equipment translates, be it the noise, the heat and the smoke. And there is where using prescriptive maintenance, either using the lubricant analysis, the vibration analysis or infrared thermography, we can identify a potential failure before it finally occurs. This slide highlights the fact that it is not in minutes and days that we talk about the failure to happen, but The failure can be identified not even weeks, but even months in advance by various techniques which are presently available. So prescriptive maintenance would benefit overall. A small sample of how the prescriptive maintenance of vibration analysis per se simple can be carried out is if we see a vibration analysis of a powertrain, the various subsystems of the equipment or the powertrain send out various frequency patterns. So this frequency pattern per se of a motor, as can be seen, can be analyzed, and various frequency which are available in the frequency domain are for imbalance, looseness, the output shaft, and the gears per se. So whenever the AI algorithm analyzes, it can analyze that there is a certain anomaly in the frequency pattern. And the moment it analyzes that there is certain problem, it automatically generates a work order, and by field inspection and lubrication, we can avoid the failure. So having seen the drawbacks and the present maintenance paradigms, we come on to various technologies which are part of the AI-based RXM. I will not dwell much on this because most of it has already been covered by the previous speakers, but just highlight that the AI-based prescriptive maintenance incorporates the IoT, because all the sensors for the condition monitoring of the various parameters of the equipment or vehicle are through the various sensors. The next is this IoT will generate a lot of data of various kinds, and this needs to be organized through big data analytics. Finally, the machine learning will be utilized to make a model, a suitable prediction model. And once the model is done and the data is shared, we can share the same in the cloud. The other aspect, the simulation modeling, I'll be covering later. I'll be not dwelling much. We all are aware that we are in the Industry 4.0. And as can be seen, that right from 2015 to 2025, there is almost going to be a 5-10 increase in the number of IoT devices that are going to be there in the defense sector per se. On the right are the various sensors which can be utilized to identify various parameters on any equipment, be it the temperature, pressure, ultrasonic, torque, oil, acoustics, vibration, or thermal parameters. The next technology per se is machine learning. Already covered by the previous speakers, basically the three kinds of supervised, wherein you give labor data, and it's more of a rule-based. Unsupervised, wherein the machine learns on its own, and wherever the labeling of data is not possible, or is a challenge. And finally, the reinforcement learning, where it's based on a reward and agent per se, how it works. Basically, for us, we can, when we carry out the prescriptive maintenance, it can be two kinds, which I'll be covering further. Either calculating the remaining useful life of an engine or equipment, or carrying out the fault analysis or the anomaly detection. So in this, the classification and clustering would assist us in anomaly detection. And regression per se would be helpful in calculating the remaining useful life of an engine. Coming out of the big data is really getting big by the day, and as it's already been told, every 2 years the data replicates itself, the quantity. And most of the maritime industry also, in the Asia Pacific, with a CAGR of 21.5%. The challenge, however, lies in the 7 years of big data. The data is slowly coming, but it is unstructured data, the variety, the variability, the volume, the velocity, and visualization are challenges which need to be overcome. And US, to that extent, realizes this, and its logistics support activity, which is the backbone of the US Army, has recently, last year, been converted and re-christened and restructured into Logistic Data Analysis Center. So they have also realized the importance of data, and whatever before the way it was a haphazard thing has been much more streamlined now by then. In fact, the US Navy, what Mr. Krish Gopalakrishnan was also saying is, when a question was asked, that would there be a requirement of cloud? Yes, there would be a requirement of private cloud, and towards that extent, the US Navy is already moving towards implementation of naval tactical clouds. Because it's not only them, the entire world is moving towards cloud. Because finally, that is going to be the order of the day. An important parameter which can find application in maritime domain is basically digital twins, which is you replicate something which you can't physically check or connect. How you go about doing it is okay, you create, as you can see out here, this is an actual physical product, and this is a digital twin which has been replicated of that. So what you do is you, through various simulation and modeling methods, you create a virtual product. You give it data, generate data, and let it train through artificial intelligence. You situate and you simulate the various control behaviors and behaviors of how the physical thing occurs. The most important thing is that this digital twin does keep have to keep having a maintain a connection with the physical thing and has to keep interchanging data. And of course, security is important. So finally, this is what happens with the digital twin can be utilized to identify what is the failure going to occur in the physical model. So it's basically a reflection from the physical world to the digital world and vice versa. Having seen the technologies, we move the advantages of prescriptive maintenance. As I already highlighted, the cost of repair. The moment it's not a failure, you only either replace the part or you service the part. Whereas once a failure occurs, the failure occurs in many parts around it and it might involve the repair of more parts. Second, the inventory cost already highlighted. With the unscheduled and unpredictable failures, you have to keep a very high inventory. The manpower utilization is inefficient because basically you have to keep doing scheduled maintenance tasks. You never know that the equipment might, the condition might be good and you might not require scheduled maintenance. But you still have to do it. So basically you're wasting manpower, basically inefficient utilization of manpower. The availability of course will be much higher because we already predict the failures and the failure doesn't occur, then of course the equipment will be available. The logistic chain will be, the supply chain management will be more proactive and responsible. Basically a just-in-time concept, we know that the equipment is going to fail, so we provide the inventory just-in-time. Of course, it will lead to increased safety because the catastrophic failures also are hazardous to the person operating the equipment. Overall, enhanced life. And finally, it will lead to enhanced knowledge management because over a period of time, the model will predict more, better learn, and therefore lead to overall savings in the long run. And not only that, enhance the core reliability, which is the most important thing. Because going back to the slide on B22 Osprey, you don't want a platform to fail above a key airspace. So that's why the most important factor that we gain from prescriptive maintenance is core reliability. But however, it does have this implementation, does have attendant disadvantages or challenges. And the challenges basically are that though initially we might have a public-private partnership and evolve over AI models and implementation of various things, but finally we do need to do capability building and the training needs to evolve amongst us. The next is the leadership needs to support, and in fact, if we have such forums like what we have today, I'm sure the leadership is really pushing the Navy or say the Army to actually take up AI, because what happens is that there is no one-size-fit model and the model will fail. So the support from the leadership is very much required. The processes basically was highlighted in the question previously also. It's not that the data is not available. Data is available, but most of the data is historical and is in the analogous format or in paper format. So to capturing that data for effective knowledge management is going to be a challenge. Next is of course the data integrity. We are all aware that sometimes there are scheduled maintenance tasks and all which are just filled for the sake of it, and of course that we all are aware that in IT, garbage in, garbage out. So the model can only predict correct what is given to be correct. Finally, the capital cost or initial cost, yes, it is certainly high, but as I told in the longer run, yes, it will overcome the initial capital cost. The warranty issues are there because most of the equipment presently, they do not have a sensor. If you install a sensor, then of course it goes away with the OEM and the warranty issues will be there. In the defense, we all are aware of the cybersecurity challenges because our data cannot be hosted on the cloud. So it has to be a private cloud, it has to be an on-premise kind of thing. So therefore, the challenge lies in that. We might have to go in for something like a higher edge kind of computing or the reduced scale kind of computing that what IIT Hyderabad professor was saying. The other challenge is in technology, wherein the vintage equipment is basically not AI ready. Most of it is either analog or does not have electronics. So to monitor the conditions in them is basically a challenge. Certain peculiar points with the challenges in the maritime domain are the limited connectivity. Basically what I foresee is basically because when the ships are out, you probably might have a limited connectivity in terms of only satellite or whatever is available, and of course the data and volume and variety from a ship, the sensors that are generating the data will be too high. And not only that, the data will have to compete with the operational data which is being sent. So whether you want to send the operational data or you want to send the logistic data, that's a challenge. Next is of course the deployment offline. Most of the time the deployment will be on high seas. So they might not be connected. So therefore, any AI system which has to be built on maritime domain has to be offline, has to be on a standalone consumption concept that is propounded. Apart from that, it does have to be recognized and endurance, because on this ship is sailing for quite some time, the system has to keep efficiently functioning. You can't go about maintaining and repairing the system or, you know, troubleshooting it at that time. And finally, of course, the security is very, very paramount, because it not only the logistic data that gives the condition of the equipment, which is very paramount, but also the location of the asset is very important. So with this, I come on to the final phase, that is the model for the prescriptive maintenance. So as I said, there is no one size fit. We do have to study whatever process we take. We have to do a process study of that, identify various parameters that we need to see, integrate the various sensors that are required and to be done, process the various kind of data. We might have to take data of exploitation, the maintenance data, the historical data, the cognitive data that the technicians, we don't capture that data. Our technicians, which have been working for the last 20 years, they know machine inside out. When a model has to predict, it is very important and crucial that we try to capture that cognitive knowledge also, so that the prediction made by the model is very good. It's a good model. Finally, we create a model, we implement it, we identify the challenges, we train the model, we again go back, sometimes we go back to the drawing board, sometimes we have to get it back to square one. So that is where the leadership does play out. Now, two models, kind of models which are used for prescriptive maintenance generally are, one is remaining useful life models. As you can see, one is a similarity method based model. This is basically utilized wherever we have a run to failure data. In sense, as you can see out here, that the entire lifetime data is available right from the start to wherever the point is failed. So suppose for equipment which is now the red line indicates the equipment which is the validation data that we are doing. So based on that, we can identify that when an equipment is going to fail. The other model is the survival method. These are the methods in which generally probably what most of the equipment we might have is that only the failure data might be available. That the equipment failed at this kilometer or this hour's run or whatever, but we do not know how the journey was. So in that case, we're going for the survival method. The third is the trend-based methods. When you are aware of a certain trend, but no failure data is available, but how will you know that this is a general broad parameters after which you can assume that the equipment is failed? So in those cases, the trend-based method is utilized where you do a confidence banding about the predicted model what is created, and then you can go about creating that when the equipment is going to fail or the remaining useful life. The next is the anomaly detection, in which you are basically finding faults. As you can see, the light data is seen, the historical data is taken. We build a model based on that, and we detect anomalies which not only displayed in the dashboard and also give an alert. There is two kinds out here. We basically go about detecting outliers through a clustering or a classification problem per se, or we study various patterns, and depending on the pattern, the bearing race is faulty or whatever, we can identify and then we can generate the faults. So what is AI? What is AI? What is India doing towards that? Well, India is actually doing a lot, and as you can see that the world has woken up in the last 2-3 years, and these are the kind of strategies that the nations have built up. And India has also built up a national strategy in the year 2018 towards that by NITI Aayog. And recently, we all are aware, in June this year, it's a conglomerate of 15 nations where global partnership on AI has been formed. And we are partnership and collaborating with the other nations on developing AI. And as we speak, in fact, from October 5th to 9th, the race which is going on, which was inaugurated by our Prime Minister Modi. So it indicates that we are actually a major player in AI and we're taking up to it. In the prescriptive maintenance market, we have a CAGR of 39% increase projected from 2018 to 2024. We have almost about 180 companies that are in the predictive maintenance market. So I think it's high time that we, the defense forces, evolve to it. With this, I finish. I will only conclude by the statement that in today's world of RMA, we have to keep pace with the latest, because we have to retain the competitive edge. Because I end by a famous quote, we cannot fight tomorrow's wars by using yesterday's process and procedures. And these two are the important quotes that we need to keep in mind. With this, I have finished. If there are any questions, I'd like to take them on.
Colonel, thank you for a very, very informative lecture. A couple of points I would like to have your views on it. As you very rightly said, collecting data, which is enabled to big data analytics or artificial intelligence, on vintage equipment is extremely difficult. We have had a pilot project running here on motors, and we know the kind of problems we faced. Do you think the time has come that at least for critical, machine critical equipment, data harnessing should be part of the staff requirement? And just to give a random example from the army system, if you are making a new MBT, should we have in the staff requirement itself that there would be a data logger to monitor the parameters of, let's say, the engine, and so that it is available for offline trend analysis at a later date? Because otherwise, we'll always be playing catch 22. You know, we will never have the data that we need to actually run the algorithms, which are very easily available to all of us today. What are you doing on this?
Sir, it's a very, very pertinent point that you've highlighted. It's a very important point, in fact, and I would more agree with this. In fact, what I propound is, in fact, I've already part of our paper which I submitted separately, we've already included this point that in all future acquisitions, wherever the staff, the qualitative requirements should include the IoT per se and the AI readiness. There should be an AI readiness index which should be there in that. And not only that, we should have AI specialist or somebody from the data analytics platform who would be involved in the procurement process, so that whichever equipment that we are taking is AI ready. Because the present challenges are basically the present equipment is you cannot, most of the time you cannot fit the sensor and you cannot monitor the condition. Though you can to an extent, there are various kinds of methodologies you can do, but then of course you cannot have a very highly predicted, very highly accurate prediction model. So I feel that yes, sir, that's a very pertinent point.
Thank you.
Now I may request the audience to if there is any question from the audience. Sir, we have one question from the audience.
Yeah,
please. While advantages of the predictive maintenance and to take it a step further, the prescriptive maintenance are very well understood. But two major challenges are creation of the knowledge base for correct predictions, prescription, and the change management of the people operating, maintaining the machines to believe in the artificially intelligent system. Can you suggest some measures for overcoming these challenges?
Thank you. It's a very important question, because yes, the mindset has to change. The mindset has to change and we have to evolve. So that's why if you see in the challenges also, the first point which I laid was, in fact, I covered my challenges in people, training and technology. Those are the three pillars by which you actually go about, you know, improving a maturity model in any equipment maintenance field or per se. So the most important facet is the training. So therefore, there needs to be a mindset change, and what that said, you also mentioned that it's very good news that the Navy has started sending, you know, officers for AI and ML and IIT Hyderabad. So that is how the trends mindset is going to change. One is that, and secondly, yes, the data per se is the biggest challenge, not only in defense forces but everywhere. And we are evolving. You see, I just like to highlight what I said in the in my thank you slide. That a good plan today is much better than an excellent plan tomorrow. Yes, I agree that the data might be low, the prediction might be low, but it is always good to start off modeling and predicting today with whatever data we have. The integrity of data, yes, is that you need to be maintained, but whatever little data we have, we should need to evolve. Because yes, there would be one day when somebody would like me to begin a presentation that in India we have about 5 billion IoT points, which are available. Like you can see the US also evolved over the last 10 years. In the last 10 years before, US was nowhere. But in the last 10 years, they have evolved. And in fact, that's why the China has was rightly brought out by, in fact, a very good slide was by Mr. Chris Gopalakrishnan, where he had showed that they are, the China is aiming, they are aiming 10 years ahead. So now 2020, they are achieving 2025 breakthrough, and by 30, they will be superpower. So if we do not start today, we do have to, and that's why it's very important that it is for all of us who are in the present field. That whenever we map any maintenance thing, we should documented properly. That's very important, because knowledge captured today is the knowledge which we utilize for prediction tomorrow. So that's I think it's very, very important.
Thank you, sir, for enlightening the audience with various aspects and applications of artificial intelligence in defense forces. Sir, as you rightly brought out, it is a need of the core for armed forces to adopt AI technologies to gain supremacy over the adversaries. As the armed forces operates and maintains complex machineries, predictive maintenance using AI is important to increase reliability and reduce downtime of equipment. We, as Center of Excellence for Big Data at IMS Balsora, are also working in the field of predictive and prescriptive maintenance for critical machinery. In fact, we have deployed a fully operational system of AI-based predictive maintenance on one of our platforms recently. I would thank once again to Colonel Kuldeep Yadav from MCEME for this kind address and the paper presentation.
Thank you so much, sir, for your time and giving this opportunity, and heartiest compliments on implementation of that prescriptive maintenance project.
Thank you, sir.